You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making this part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday. This is the Thursday podcast. You're almost there. The week is almost over for you. Short week, too, so that's nice.
You're almost done listening to our asses in the morning.
We're the Rated Jays. John Corrales right here of MassLive.com, joined by the kid, Jay King of The Athletic.
I just want to let everyone know I'm being truly heroic today. I'm podcasting before having my first cup of coffee.
Whoa!
So I ran out of coffee, and I'm too lazy to go out and get more. And
there's a coffee shop right downstairs.
Yeah, but the thing is, before you have coffee, you can't have the motivation to go downstairs and get it. So right now, I'm just being a true hero.
This really is. Don't use the word hero very often, but Jay, you are the greatest hero in American history. Today, we are brought to you by a trio of sponsors. I want to thank them all. Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Untuck it. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, there's shirts specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com and use the promo code NBA for 20% off and Grip 6 belts. Ultra lightweight, no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift. Go to grip6.com. That's the number 6/lock, LOCKE, for a Father's Day offer. Grip6.com/lock. And of course, you can always subscribe to the podcast on Himalaya. Free, super easy to use. Every single podcast you're looking for, including ours, you can follow us. You can follow creators. You can follow everybody. It's a great podcasting app. Check it out. The new Himalaya podcast app. Okay, Jay, we're going to talk Kyrie Irving. It's basically the only thing to talk about nowadays with the Celtics. Rumors are swirling. The Brooklyn Nets are getting their word out. There was a report in SNY that had the Brooklyn Nets allegedly moving into the lead if Kyrie were to leave, as opposed to the Knicks. And others have brought up the Brooklyn Nets as possible destinations. I kind of got into that the other day when Broussard mentioned it on Fox Sports 1 on The Herd. I don't know. Brooklyn seems like a fair place to go. If you're looking to go to a place, if you're looking to go back to New York, if you want to go home, if you're Kyrie Irving, I think it makes sense to go to Brooklyn versus the Knicks if you're looking for a place that is going to give you a good chance to win. They have some decent pieces, and they, most importantly, have good ownership, a stable front office, and good coaching.
Brooklyn is a real threat for Kyrie. And I think for the reasons you mentioned, it's funny because you say all those strengths, and that's what initially appealed about Boston to him.
Right, of course.
And I do think those things are still there in Boston if Kyrie takes a little step back and kind of evaluates how the season went and what will change in the future, what needs to change in the future. But from his perspective, if he does want to play closer to home, you either have the Knicks, who have been a dumpster fire for 40 years? Or you have the Nets, who have gone through a rebuilding process and created this new culture and built a playoff team with no first round picks, which is so damn tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have a lot of flexibility to chase the types of stars like Kyrie. And so I do think the Nets are a real threat for Kyrie. I don't know where they list on his rankings, but they're definitely up there. And I think there's a lot about that situation that it does appeal to him.
I agree that, but I'm trying to think about this rationally, and maybe that's not the right way to do it with Kyrie. I mean, I guess the question is he so hell-bent on just going home? Is he just dying to go back and be near where he grew up? And if he is, then there's nothing the Celtics can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. He's going to go play near his childhood home, and playing in New York is the best chance that is the only chance that he can to do that, unless he goes and plays for the 76ers, which is not far from New Jersey. But he's obviously considering that, and I see rumors about him buying houses or whatever. I don't know. But if we're looking, go ahead.
But if he is hell-bent on going home, when did that change happen?
That's a good question.
That thought doesn't make total sense to me, because there was a time when he was committed to Boston, or at least said he was committed to Boston.
Right.
And obviously a lot's changed since then. And the pull to play near home, I think, was always there for him. He spoke about it when he was in New York to play the Knicks early this season before everything went wrong with the Celtics. But I just want to know, like, when did that change happen, if it did? And maybe it did, and maybe the Celtics had such a good situation that he was able to push aside the desire to play home. I do think, like, too, Boston's not far from New York.
It's
especially
not.
When you're a guy with that much money who can take a flight to New York or have any type of transportation you want. It's really, really easy to get there. And I know, like, Kyrie's father came to some games, and he was able to come to some games. And that obviously means a lot to Kyrie. He's very close to his father. But, yeah, the pull of home could be real. And if the pull of home is real, to me, I would rather play for Brooklyn instead of the Knicks, unless the Knicks are able to build a super team overnight.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know what he's thinking. And if he does decide to leave because of the pull, then, like I said, there's nothing Boston can do. If it's just the basketball thing, then the dynamic changes a little bit. And I don't know. Like, if we go back over the course of the season and you say, what is it about this past season that might have changed his mind, if it changed his mind? I mean, is the fact that he had trouble with his just in general leading, trouble with how he handled himself, how he handled the rumors, how he handled the media, all of that stuff. I mean, is it just the matter of I'd rather be home and have the constant consultation of my father, which, you know, if you're very close to your dad and he's a person that you lean on for advice, it makes sense. You want to be close to your dad and whatever. I mean, you could also pick up the phone. You can FaceTime him if you want. You can be anywhere in the world and talk to him. But if you want to be in his physical presence, then so be it. I don't know if – I don't know what Kyrie is chasing. And that's the problem. We're all trying to guess. If – and I don't want to put too much stock in what Broussard said. But if – the media is something that bothers him, and obviously he doesn't like the media very, very much, then going to New York isn't going to help. It's going to make things worse. Like, if he goes to Brooklyn, and they're all of the New York papers, ESPN, all of them, they're going to stake people out in Brooklyn. Like, people like Tim Bontemps, who was stationed in Boston for, you know, and to cover, I wouldn't be surprised if they asked him to move or pulled somebody and gave him a Bontemps type role and say, go live in New York, because now you're covering the Kyrie beat. Like, he will be facing a ton more media if he goes to New York.
I don't know if there's a place where he'll face much more media than he faced in Boston this past year. I think for a lot of reasons, this is the spotlight was on Boston this year from the start of the season.
Sure.
At first, it was because the expectations were so high and Kyrie and Gordon were coming back and they were kind of the toast of the town. And then it turned into the spotlight was on them because they stunk and they didn't live up to those expectations. And the fire was just burning in Boston this whole year. And so I don't know if he'll ever face more scrutiny than he did this past season. I think if he's smart, he'll learn from all of that. And no matter where he goes, he'll be better equipped to face that. But you're right. Wherever Kyrie goes, it doesn't matter where Kyrie goes. There's going to be intense media pressure because wherever he goes, it'll be a really good team, presumably, because he's not going to go to a bad team. And wherever he goes, he'll still be Kyrie. And Kyrie is a fascinating dude. He just is.
Yeah.
And so he's not going to be able to escape that pressure regardless, whether he's in New York, L.A., Boston, wherever. It doesn't matter. The spotlight's going to find Kyrie.
It totally is. It totally is. And if he thinks that escaping Boston is going to mean escaping any sort of spotlight, he's sadly mistaken. I don't want to put that on him. I'm just saying that other people, somebody has said that about what he's looking for. I mean, even if he goes to Phoenix, there is going to be pressure. There's going to be scrutiny. So we'll see. We'll see. Why don't we take a break and come back? Because the odds makers are laying down the line on where he and others will go. And we'll see what Vegas thinks as we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Jay, I am scrolling down this betonline.ag. That's where these odds are coming from as I sip on my large black from Dunkin'.
Damn you. Damn you.
I'm actually having a coffee.
I right know where you live. I may drive over there and throw that damn thing in your face.
You will expend the energy to drive to my house rather than just go down and get yourself a damn coffee.
Vengeance is a powerful drug.
Oh, God. I wish I should have the video chat on as I savor this. Oh, my God. I needed this caffeine so badly. So, Kyrie Irving, the odds are, according to these odds that were emailed out, Boston is third. The New York Knicks, 2-3 to get Kyrie Irving. The Brooklyn Nets, 2-1. Boston Celtics, 5-1. To get Kyrie Irving for opening night next season. If you had to rank the possibilities, I know this is a horrible question because I don't know what the answer is either, but what do you think of these odds? Oh, by the way, after Boston, the Lakers at 7-1, the Clippers at 10-1. I like the Mavericks at 16-1. That's a wild long shot. That'd be fun.
Luka and Kyrie.
That'd be amazing.
And Porzingis, that team would get buckets.
I tell you what, I wouldn't even be mad at that. Like, I would just be like, huh, wow, he went to Dallas. How wild. But what do you think of these odds?
I don't know if the Knicks should be such a favorite.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, I wouldn't be surprised by anything he does. I think as he gets some space away from the season, I think he'll realize. I do think he likes Brad and Danny. I do think he likes part of what he experienced in Boston. And obviously, this year didn't go well for anyone. And especially like recency bias, the last couple weeks of it, the last week especially, they were just really tough for him. And he faced a lot of heat. And Boston kind of turned on him. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be tough to deal with. Like, I don't know if even if you can look at it realistically, and I don't know if Kyrie does this, but even if you can look at it realistically, be totally self-aware and realize some of this was my fault. Having people scream at you that they want you to leave and facing all this heat from not from just outside, but from Boston fans. That would not help me want to return to Boston. I would be wary of that. And professional athletes are wired differently. So some guys might think, I have unfinished business. I need to come back. I want to win over this fan base, do things right, yada, yada, yada. But to me, that'd be a tough thing for me to overcome. Like, things went wrong for just a little while, and it wasn't all Kyrie's fault. And the entire city kind of turned on him. And maybe not the entire city.
I was going to say, I wouldn't say the entire city, but...
A chunk of the city turned on him, and there was a lot of backlash for him. And I was talking about this with one of my friends the other day, the difference in adoration between Kyrie's second team All-NBA season and Isaiah Thomas's second team All-NBA season is enormous. The gap there, the gulf, is just monster. And Kyrie was unbelievable this year. Like, if you separate the basketball from everything, Kyrie was fantastic for almost the entire season. And I don't think he deserves enough credit for how good he was basketball-wise, because some of the other things he said and did received a lot more of the focus. And for him, maybe that irritates him. I don't know. But I just don't see – if I were a player, I would never in a million years want to go to the Knicks. That'd be the very last place I would want to go. But if the prospect of joining up with Kevin Durant is there, and if the prospect of playing near your hometown is there and in front of family and friends, then that could be a heck of a draw.
Yeah, you know, as far as the backlash goes, I mean, and the comparison to Isaiah Thomas, that is the ultimate expectations argument, because we didn't expect Isaiah Thomas to have an all NBA type of season. Like, nobody expected that, and nobody expected that team to be very good. No one expected them to get as far as they did, and they outperformed, and they were fun. We liked watching them. Isaiah was, you know, a character. He spoke his mind. Jay Crowder, you know, poking his finger in John Wall's nose. I mean, you had a gritty bunch of guys that didn't give up. I mean, that's a fun team to watch. That was a fun team. Any team that's outperforming their expectations is fun. This team is better than that team, I think. But the way they played, the way they carried themselves, it was off-putting. A lot of fans, a lot of people, you know, people that take great joy. I mean, I'm basing my opinion on people I follow on Twitter. But there are people who take great joy in these Celtics from year to year to year. And almost all of them said they just didn't like this team. There's nothing likable about this team. People were happy that the season kind of
ended. Owner came out and said this team was tough to watch. You know, right. Like, it was just everybody top to bottom, so, including the players. The players all felt the same way.
Yeah. So when it's that bad, it's not any one player's fault. Like, we have our targets and whatever. Kyrie brought a lot of this on himself. Kyrie's the guy that kept telling everybody to wait for the offseason, to wait for the postseason. Even when we talked to Aaron Baines the other day, he was talking about the habits that they didn't build during the regular season. And that, I think, falls on two people, Brad Stevens and Kyrie Irving, mostly. Like, Brad Stevens had to be the guy to interject and get those guys to do it, but also the team follows their best player. They took the personality, they took the "don't worry, the playoffs will be different" mentality from
But
Kyrie.
I don't think Kyrie always had that mentality. Like, Kyrie from the start of the season was urgent. about getting habits right and playing up to expectations. And I don't think he flipped that switch until he saw like the season was unsalvageable. And then I think he went into like preservation mode and just said, we'll be fine in the playoffs. Okay. I think for a long time he tried like hell to get the Celtics to be as urgent as possible. And I don't think he always went about it the right way, but I do think he was very on edge from the beginning about getting the Celtics to play up to their potential right away.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. At the beginning of the season, I can see that. That's fair. The switch though, still, I don't know that he went about it the right way there with the, that wait for the playoffs thing. Still, it's still, I think, set a bad tone. As soon as he started saying that, then everybody kind of bought into it. Or all the people who it seemed like were problematic, I guess, is the best way to put it. So for Kyrie to take that public stance and to say that and have other guys in the locker room start saying it after him, and then invited the criticism. So when he had that playoff performance, like that really hurt him. That definitely hurt. Like if he had made those shots, if he had shot well at all against Milwaukee, then I don't think this feeling exists for against Kyrie Irving. So, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Like if he's really paying attention to it and it takes it personally, then that's his fault. That's part of being an athlete. It sucks. When things are going great, he's going to get all of the adoration. When things are going poorly, he's going to get a ton of the criticism. My big thing with Kyrie, I just don't know how he's going to turn down all of this money. Like, I don't know if people really understand how much money he can make in Boston. Like, it's 30% of the cap versus 25% of the cap by signing somewhere else. And he can only get 4 years somewhere else, and he get a fifth year in Boston. That fifth year at 30% of the cap is $44 million. Like, his first year salary is $32.7 million in Boston. He can get a five-year, $190 million contract, as opposed to 4 years starting at 27.2. So the raises, like, in the fourth year of his contract with another team, that's less than what he would be making in his first year with Boston. That's a lot of
counterpoint.
Money.
Counterpoint?
Yeah.
He already asked out of Cleveland when he could have stayed in Cleveland and gotten a Supermax.
Okay.
So he's already shown that money's not going to be the driving factor in his decisions.
Okay. But at the same time, he could have stayed and gotten the Supermax and gotten, what, 35% of the cap? Yeah, I mean, that also a fair point. That's also a fair point.
I also think the trend we've seen lately in the NBA is that it might be because these guys are making so much money. It might just be because player movement has become more and more trendy, I guess. But guys are willing to leave money on the table, whether it's Paul George or DeMarcus Cousins or like a number of other players have foregone the opportunity to have a Supermax deal because they wanted to look for a better situation for themselves. And I have no idea what Kyrie is thinking about that. But I do think the trend lately is mostly like guys are willing to leave and they're getting enough money as it is that they're okay with leaving and leaving some money on the table.
Sure. But okay, so he lost, well, not lost. He gave up the opportunity to make a Supermax in Cleveland. That's fine. That's you make a good point with that he's willing to leave money on the table. But going from Supermax to the whatever, the 27 million, like that's a significant amount of money. Let me see here. The 35% of the cap would be a first year salary of 38 million. So he's giving up basically $11 million in his first year if he leaves Boston, because he's already given up the Supermax, and then he's giving up the five-year max with Boston. Again, Boston can offer him 30% of the cap, 5 years, and 8% raises, where another team can offer him 25% of the cap, 4 years, and 5% raises. So the Supermax gives him more. It just gives him that 35%. That's a lot. That's a lot of money. And even though he's Kyrie Irving and he's got that Nike deal, and I don't know. At some point you got to look at this from a business perspective and be like, I'm going to go and give up all of this money for what? Going back to your original point, buy a plane, you know, charter a private plane and just park it at Newark Airport and just tell Dad, whenever you want to come, just get on the plane and go. You know, it's at the ready for you. Come on over whenever you want. Like, that's easy to do. So
I need that plane money too, man.
I mean, it'd be great. I mean, I guess people should start subscribing to The Athletic. Get Jay King that plane money.
Gonna need a lot more subscriptions for that one.
Yeah, we're gonna see. Maybe people start like do it through two or three different emails. Jay needs that plane money. let's take a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna wrap up the show here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We started talking about the odds, and then we got off, you know, off the path here. That I guess when I was talking before, I still would put the odds kind of closer with the Boston Celtics. Either, I mean, not 5-1. I would put them closer to the Nets. I would say that the Nets at 2-1 is, that's wild. But I wonder how much of Kyrie's decision is going to be based on what other people do. Like, so Kevin Durant's odds to go to New York are 6-5. If Durant goes to the Knicks, is this going to be the Kyrie Durant pairing that we keep it? And that would be his decision versus if Durant goes to the Clippers, who are, I've never seen 17-10 odds before.
The one thing too, I think that Durant being injured in this finals, I think that could be another wrinkle that could actually impact what happens this summer. Like, if the Warriors lose without KD, let's say he's injured for the whole time and they lose, all of a sudden, like, he's seen as the piece that they needed all along. And if it goes the other way, like, and they win without him, then it's like, if you come back, man, you're coming back for the second time to a juggernaut that didn't really need to. And so I do think the finals is a really interesting what if. And I know we learned after the fact that if the Warriors had won the finals the year before KD joined, he probably wouldn't have gone. And so who knows how that could impact KD, if that would impact Kyrie, if that would have an impact on Anthony Davis's ultimate destination. There are so many moving factors this summer. This summer is going to be a crazy, crazy one in the NBA.
Yeah, I wonder, because you hear these stories, and it's so hard to figure out what stories are real, what stories aren't real. But the thought with Durant is that he is kind of obsessed with being LeBron James's equal. You know, like, he's got two rings, and he wants to get a third because LeBron's got three, and he wants to be seen in that, in that realm. And if he gets three rings, LeBron has three rings. Well, now, like, what are the odds that LeBron gets a fourth ring? Like, that, those odds are really starting to dwindle if you look at how stupid the Lakers are being right now. Like, I don't know how the hell they put a championship team together. So,
I mean, they got plenty of cap space. They got young dudes to trade.
They do.
And they've got a desire to put one a team around LeBron. And they got L.A. L.A. is a powerful thing.
L.A. is powerful, sure. But the Clippers have cap space. And the Lakers are a mess. We've seen players actively avoid messes like that. Like, you look at what's happening.
We see players lining up to go to the Knicks. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, it's entirely possible. And the Lakers may have that mystique still. But, man, really, honestly, I can see, like, the whole thing with Kawhi. You want to go to a place where it's your team. You want to be seen as LeBron's sidekick. You want to go to a team where LeBron is pulling all the strings and Maverick Carter is sitting in on team meetings and you know, all of these clutch sports guys are all over the front office. And I mean, if you read Baxter Holmes' piece, that really paints a very ugly picture in Los Angeles. And I don't know how many of these star players are really, really going to want to go to the Lakers. I think the Lakers are better off, or I'm sorry, I think the Lakers are more likely to get the secondary star player, like a Kemba Walker. Like, I think they're going to get the guy, like Kemba Walker and Jimmy Butler are going to be their guys, not Kawhi, not Kyrie, not Kevin Durant. Like, and I don't know. I mean, that's going to make them good. How good? I just don't know. So back to the odds. Like, if Kevin Durant is obsessed with getting that third ring and the Warriors don't win, wouldn't he just go back and be the guy and get that third ring with the Warriors, and then all of this Knicks crap is over with?
Who knows, man? The Knicks thing is crazy to me. It will always be crazy to me. From the first time I heard that rumor way back when, I just thought to myself, what in the hell? Why in the hell would these guys want to go to the Knicks? But there are reasons, I guess. Just beyond reasons beyond what I would want if I was looking for a new job.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to go there. It's so hard to get in the minds of these superstar athletes because who the hell knows what motivates them? They just operate on a different plane, a different level. And they think of things differently than we do. Like, the things that you and I find important, or you, the listener, finds important, they don't find important. And this mentality of, well, I'd play for free, or it doesn't matter. Like, you know, I'd play for $1 million and I'd be happy. Like, that's not how it works with these guys. So who knows? If they are obsessed with legacy, and I do believe that Kevin Durant is obsessed with legacy and obsessed with what people think of him. I mean, obviously he's fighting with people on Instagram all the time. Then whatever happens with the Warriors, like, if they lose, I wouldn't be surprised if he went back. If they win, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, okay, I got my three, I matched LeBron, now I'm off to go do this somewhere else. Like, I can see either one happening. And depending on what he does, it could impact what Kyrie does. I mean, I don't think Kyrie is just going to go off and be like, yeah, I'm going to play for the Nets now, and there's just no other move.
Yeah. It's all going to be a wild summer. Buckle up.
All right, well.
And I think the potential for so much movement leaves next year wide open. If KD leaves the Warriors everything's wide open. The Rockets are considering trading some guys. The Kyrie could leave the Celtics. Kawhi could leave the Raptors. The Bucks have three free agents in their starting lineup. Like, this, the whole landscape could look a lot different by the time July 15th comes around.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's this. I can't even begin to wrap my head around, and I've been talking and writing about this for weeks now, and I still can't begin to wrap my head around all of the possibilities. So, I mean, all we can do is talk things through. And as we're talking things through, like, other thoughts pop into my head. Well, wait a minute. What about this? What about that? We have the finals going on, and the two best players, or two of the best players, depending on your opinion of Kevin Durant, Jay, they could be gone. Like, have we ever seen a finals where the star from each of the teams could leave and play for a different team the next season? Like, that's wild. Like, that alone is wild.
It's crazy. It's a bonkers time in the NBA.
Bonkers. I love the word bonkers. All right. Let's wrap up this bonkers podcast, because this is basically what we're going to be talking about for the next month. I really just want June 30th to get here. I just want to know. I want to know what's happening. Just get it over with. I'm tired of rumors. I just want to know what's happening. But we'll keep trying to figure it out. So all of you new listeners, go ahead and download the new Himalaya podcast app. It's free, super easy to use, has every single podcast, including ours and all of the Locked On podcasts. Go download that, subscribe today, and you'll get a personally curated playlist made just for you by their expert podcast tastemakers. They have tastemakers at Himalaya. So go download that. All you regular listeners, go ahead and subscribe. I mean, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating and that good written review. Also, thanks to our sponsors today, Hotels.com. Go ahead and book your next trip on Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded on Hotels.com. UnTucket. If you're looking for a great Father's Day gift, they're comfortable and no tucking or tailoring required. Go to UnTucket.com. Use the promo code NBA for 20% off. And Grip 6 Belts. Ultra light, no holes, no flap. Great Father's Day gift. Grip6.com/lock for a special Father's Day offer. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.